having the opportunity to live in this wonderful country that we call home prompted the message today entitled, How Lucky Am I? And if I want you to turn, there's two things, and I won't take long because I know I am what stands between you and a Duma hamburger. And if you're the man that stands between Baptists and Duma hamburgers, you better be quick. But if you will turn with me to Romans chapter 11, let's all stand together. There's only going to be two things I'm going to talk about today, and there's so many more, but we're going to dwell on the two most important, in my opinion. Everything else comes out of these two things, and the one actually is the most important of them all. So we're going to talk about Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 13. The Bible says, For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, you are so good. There are not words that can describe how good you are. But if we were all to take a step back and just think for a moment, we sure are lucky. We sure are fortunate. We sure are blessed. And Lord God, I thank you so much for everything that you've done for us in this country. You and you alone have made the country that I stand in truly great. And Lord, I thank you for that. Please, Lord, bless and speak through me this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Taking the Romans class led us in on a very important truth. I'm not going to dwell a lot about the truth, but I am going to dwell a lot about the result. We are very, very fortunate that God loves us. And I say that because not one of us in this room are any good. Now, don't get mad at me and walk out. I am good. Believe me, I'm good. You just don't know. Well, the Bible says there is none good, no, not one. So I'm going to go ahead and believe the Bible over the thoughts. And you may have good attributes. You may do good things. But understand this. At the end of the day, we are certainly going to come short of the glory of God. At the end of the day, we certainly have made mistakes here and there in our lives. And it's very easy to admit that, and it's very easy to see that. Yet God still commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, how fortunate is that? There's nothing we've done, Miss Annie, to deserve Christ to leave heaven. There's nothing that we've done to deserve Christ coming down to this earth. There's nothing that we've deserved to have Christ go to that cross. There's nothing that we've deserved to have him shed his blood. There's nothing that we've deserved. And I always go back to this. There's nothing that we've done to deserve the fact that Christ wrote the rules. And in those rules, he included himself dying for a world of people that did not even like him. He looked down and saw a bunch of people that hated him. You can't even stand to sit next to people who don't like you. And Christ said, I'm going to die for the person I can't stand to sit next to. He says, I'm going to die for the people that don't love me. I'm going to die for the people who are undone. I'm going to die for the people that are wicked. I'm going to die for the people that don't deserve it. I'm going to die and give my mercy and goodness and love and blood. And I'm going to do all those things for somebody that doesn't deserve it. How lucky am I? I know I don't want to minimize what Christ has done by using the word lucky. But I sit back and, Brother Brian, what other word can really take the place of lucky. It's wonderful that I have found out about Jesus Christ. I want you to think with me for a moment. What would happen, and I've done this before, your spiritual family trees. Think about this for a moment. If this man doesn't get led to Christ in front of an old green couch, everybody knows the story of. Yep. If he doesn't get saved there and start that church, I don't get saved. But wait, don't you have to go back? What about Grandpa Cockrell? What about the man that started that church? What about the man? And you've got to go up the tree to get all the people that were involved in his life that ended up having a very important part in my life. Ron Brown, the man that led me to Christ, I'm sure I'm glad he came to church. How lucky am I that Ron Brown came to church that day and had the message I needed to hear. And because I needed to hear it, I got to hear about Jesus Christ in front of an old green register. I accepted the Lord, and now I stand before you today. 11 years old, I got saved. I'm going to tell you right now, I lived like a rotten devil ever since. No, up for a lot of years. God let me live. He kept me alive. How lucky am I? How lucky am I that I get to have the Word of God? Now you might say, well, preacher, this is an easy one. I mean, really? All across the country today, people are believing in a false scripture. All across the country today, people are believing in a false hope. All across the country today, people are believing it's something other than the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, how lucky am I? How lucky am I wasn't born a Catholic? Now, I'm not saying, hey, listen, I'm not against, they believe what they believe just as much as I believe what I believe. But if they believe what they believe, it goes contrary to what the Bible says. And you can take it up with the author, they're not going to find the way to heaven if they believe that. Not mad, not upset. I just want you to know that the Bible's true and every man's a liar. You can't go against the scripture and hope to be right. How lucky am I? How lucky am I got introduced to this man? Oh, well, he's just a man. Really? See, I don't like to give credit to men. I understand that, and I don't hold him up any higher than he needs to be. Believe me, I know his feet stink. But understand this. Because of his faithfulness, I am who I am. Because of the faithfulness of people that you got to, how lucky are you? Think about that for a moment. How lucky are you? How lucky are you that you're here today, not just because I'm preaching, although, woohoo, that is luck. Bad day. We're starting out in a bad day. You should have came to Sunday school. You'd have figured out how to get over it during this message. How fortunate are you that somebody saw you? Think about this. How'd you get saved? Think about it. If you're saved in here today, you know the Lord is your Savior. How'd you get that way? You didn't get that way because you tripped over something, hit your head, and the Lord came down and showed himself to you. No, what happened is somebody cared enough for you. Somebody cared enough for this little 11-year-old to go ahead and witness to me, to go ahead and tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ. How lucky am I? Oh, I know that the Lord had all this in his plan. But how lucky am I? I could have been born somewhere other than America. I could have been born in a country that does not have freedom. How many times have we gone back in Jesus Christ and we look at it and we don't get excited anymore because we take it for granted. We get to a point in our Christianity where we believe that we are so good. Come on now. Stay with me. Don't leave me. I'll come right back to good stuff here in a minute. How many times do we sit there and believe that, well, God saved me because I'm a preacher? Well, God saved you because you're a deacon. God saved you because he knew that you would get plugged into church. God saved you. Oh, my goodness, it was a good thing that he did because Christianity in and of itself would plummet if he didn't save you. Let me help you. Do you know why Christ saved you? There's only one reason. Because he loves you. Despite of the laundry list of bad things that I could talk about you. And me too. Hey, listen, I hope you find hope in that. Because I hope that you understand that you're not very good. Okay? In your flesh dwelleth what? I'll go ahead and believe the Bible over what we talk about ourselves. And in my eyes, you are good people. But in God's eyes, your righteousnesses are as? So you must understand something. We've got a freedom that we've been allowed, an eternal freedom. The truth shall make you what?
Free.
It makes you free, not sets you free. I hate it when people misquote that. It's not sets you free. Sets you free means you get out of jail, but you remember that you were in. Amen? If you've ever been in jail, you pretty much remember that. No, make you free. It's make you free. It's made as though you've never been in jail. It's made as though you've never been a sinner. That's what justification is. Jesus Christ looks down at you and says, that man right there, that man, that Brother Dave Ballard, he is rotten to the core, rotten. I'm admitting something that you already know. Rotten to the core. He's no good, not good at all. But understand this, I love him with all my heart. And because I love him with all my heart, I'm going to save that young man and I'm going to make him free. Why do we have a hard time realizing? If you judge each other, it's like two pieces of dust fighting over which one is better. Every person in this room is the same. We're sinners. How lucky are we that Christ looked down and said, I'm going to use my grace to save them. I'm going to give my, and by the way, and again, I'm going to say this over and over again throughout all of my ministry. It amazes me that Jesus Christ made the rules. If Jesus Christ made the rules and didn't love you so much, why in the world didn't he just say, if you just do works the rest of your life, you'll get to heaven. I don't need to die. Think about that for a minute. But Jesus made the rules. Jesus made it so he had to die. And because he did, you have the right, the obligation to be saved. You say obligation? Surely you have an obligation to be saved. You ought to get 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 saved. Why should you ought to get saved? Because you're dumb if you don't. And because he died for you. He died for everybody. Mark Charles Manson in front of me right now, as oogie as that would be, I promise you, Christ died for that man too. And you must understand something. To me, I look at my salvation, how fortunate. How fortunate I got in the right crowd. How fortunate I was in the right place. How fortunate it was the right time. How fortunate Jesus looked down 2,000 years ago from his cross and saw Brother Dave Ballard. How fortunate was it that he knew how bad I was going to be, yet he still loved me no matter what. How lucky am I to be grafted in the branches that I ought not be grafted into? How fortunate am I that I get to be saved? I hope you understand how fortunate you are today. But listen, I think Christians by and large understand how fortunate they are. I'm going to switch gears on you here. What bothers me, and I'm going to stay here a while, so just bear with me. What bothers me is we've forgotten how fortunate we are to be Americans. This is Memorial Day weekend. I have some figures for you. It's staggering, really. But I have some figures for you, and I want you to understand this. I know this is Memorial Day, but I'm sorry. Any chance I get to recognize folks that have provided me with freedom, just as much as I didn't deserve salvation. And I know salvation is so much better than what I'm about to tell you. I understand that. Please don't leave me. How fortunate am I to get to be in a free country? Come on. I want to give you some numbers. We'll go back to the Civil War. Because honestly, the Civil War, and whatever your politics are about the Civil War, I couldn't care less. Can I just tell you the death toll? Over 620,000 people on American soil gave their lives in the Civil War. I've been to Gettysburg. Never really understood the Civil War. Never really got into it much. Didn't understand the history. But I went to Gettysburg. I challenge you to go to Gettysburg. Because I'm going to tell you, somebody that did not know, uneducated in the Civil War, could not keep his eyes dry while I was there. Realizing that the rock fence that was represented at the place where Pickett's charge was, realizing that men bled there. Not for their country, for their state. To have freedom. We go on to World War I. 116,516 dead in World War I. World War II, 405,399 dead. World War II. Korea, 36,574 men and women gave their lives in Korea. Vietnam. And if you're a Vietnam vet, we love you. You were treated horribly. Uncalled for. The people that lived back home had no problem calling it a police action, but they weren't there. I'm sure it looked like war to you. 58,220 people gave their lives in Vietnam. Iraqi Freedom, 4,466. The New Dawn Operation, 66. Enduring Freedom, which still continues today, 2,219 men and ladies have given their life. And every one of these people died. And I'm fortunate. But let me tell you, and I know we have a Veterans Day. I understand that. But I don't think there's ever a time when you can't talk about the people that have served that are still living. If you've ever served, please bear with me. Could you stand up for me, please? If you've ever served in the military, could you please stand up for me, please? Retired, otherwise, I couldn't care less. I want to see, if you served, I want you to stand. You may be seated. Now listen. I don't know if Bill Lang was thinking about David Ballard in Vietnam. I don't know, okay? I'm fairly certain that I didn't cross his mind. No, please bear with me for a moment. But regardless if I was on his mind or not, my freedom is a result of what he's done. And let me tell you something. I know that he didn't die there, but he did the best he could. I mean, you almost died there, brother. I mean, you almost died there. And I'm going to tell you right now, and if you did not go to combat, and if you did not serve in a combat forward area, understand this. You are just as much to blame for my freedom as the fellow that did. I don't care what branch you serve from. I don't care where you've been. All those people that died and gave their lives and we celebrate Memorial Day, understand this. You'll never know how lucky I feel because you provided me with my country and I was not able to fight. I tried. Boy, I wanted to. I'm going to tell you, I did everything I could. I went to the Cleveland MEPS building. I'm on the 15th floor standing there in my skivvies. And a man looks at me, and if I tell him it's a cigar burn, I go in. But I tell him I've got psoriasis, crazy thing I've ever heard in my entire life. The Lord had a different plan for me. I said, I've got psoriasis. I went to the next room, and I was permanently medically disqualified from serving in the military. I couldn't even be drafted. I was absolutely depressed. Everything in my heart, all I wanted to do was go to Fort Sam Houston and start learning how to be a medic. Ever since then, this is true. Ever since then, I've looked at a soldier that did go as a hero. It's never changed. It never will change. And let me explain something to you. I don't think it's very good business to have somebody come up and tell me that a battle's not worthwhile, or the fighting's not worthwhile, or this is not worthwhile, or that's not. I don't care how worthwhile Vietnam was, or how worthwhile you think Iraqi freedom is. If those boys are fighting, they're my hero. Yeah. Yeah. We've got ourselves into a world today where we believe America needs to go around and apologize for the things that they've done. Let me tell you, you take America out of the picture and the whole world collapses. Why? Because we've got men and ladies that have fought and bled and died for this country to give us something that everybody wants, but nobody else can seem to get, and that's freedom. My grandfather marched in the Death March of Bataan, carried a man on his shoulder, because if you were left behind, you were left behind. I watched Kenny White go through surgery after surgery trying to fix him up. You're going to tell me he's not a hero? Sat up in front of a machine as a gunner. And an IED explodes right next to his vehicle, or under his vehicle. Launches his vehicle up into the air, killed some of the men that were with him, and yet we still have Kenny here today. Let me explain something to you. He, too, to me, is a hero. Have I ever changed my story? Have I ever said anything different than you're my hero? Never, not one time. Why? Because that man went out there and fought in my place and fought for me so I can have a free country. You say, well, that was fighting over there. Let me explain something to you. I don't care where the fighting is. That lets it not be over here. I'd rather take the fight to them. I don't want them to have to go through it. I never want them to have to fight. But they've got a bravery that I've never been afforded. They've got a bravery and have shown it in a way that I've never had to see. And some of the men represented in this room and ladies have seen things that I'll never see in my life and had to live with that the rest of their days. Are you considering them a hero? You bet I am. I've heard from folks, not of this church, say that you ought to not talk about this stuff in the church house. You got to keep that separate. I'd like to keep you separate. Because I don't deserve the freedom I have. You don't either. Let me help you a little bit. I know I'm only 43 years old. But I don't deserve the freedom that Kenny White has provided. I don't deserve to have him sacrifice pain and suffering and his back problems and everything he's had to go through in his life. I don't deserve it. What did I ever do for him? I don't deserve it. Brother Bill, I don't deserve the fact that you have to struggle to play the mandolin and have to struggle to serve the Lord. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve the free. You say, well, he was just in Vietnam. Just in Vietnam? Just in Vietnam? Vietnam, they didn't know who they were fighting. Explain something to you. This Memorial Day, we are here because of somebody else. We are here because somebody else gave of their lives. How lucky am I? How lucky am I that I get to walk in freedom? How lucky am I that I get to preach the word to you without reservation? How lucky am I that we're not below ground, but we're above? How lucky am I that I get to walk in a place where I can go down and buy a Frosty? That's lucky. How lucky am I that we get to live in a place where we can put license plates on our cars and drive from one end to the other without being stopped unless you speed? How lucky am I we don't need a passport to go from Michigan to Florida? How lucky are we that we are literally free? And I know in this country we're deciding against all odds to give away our freedoms, and I think that's stupid because I'm going to tell you, I don't think these men fought so we could give freedoms away. I think that they fought so we could keep them. And yes, freedom costs. Even having freedom costs. You might have to give up a little of your safety to be free. But it's worth it because that man gave of some of his life and you gave of some of yours and he almost gave all of his. And you didn't know me. Yet you provided me with freedom. I take that personal. But let me get back to the first part. There was a man who did know me. He knew who I was. He knows who you are. The Bible says he knoweth your frame. He knows what you're worth. He knows what you're going to do. He knows what you've already done. He knows what kind of person you are. He knows the beginning and the end. Bill Lang, you didn't know me. Yet you still went and fought for me. I can never thank you. Can't do it. I don't know how to do it. But thank you. Every one of you that served in the military in here, you're all just as much to blame. Thank you. You'll never know. I can't do it. I can't give you enough thanks. We try in this church. And I think this is a great church for the armed servicemen. We try. We love you. There's nothing we wouldn't do. At least we try. But you didn't know me. Back then, you may not have thought I was worth dying for. Back then, you may not have thought I was worth living for. Back then, you may have looked at me. Certainly, I'm not going to go for you. But can I give you one thought and I'm all done? Jesus knew exactly who I was. He knew I wasn't worth dying for. He knew I wasn't worth living for. He knew that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And by the way, in my flesh there still dwelleth no good thing, except the Holy Spirit. Knowing who I am, knowing who I was, knowing who I am going to be, He still came. That's why you can never look at me and say, I'm not worth it. You can never look at me and say, well, He didn't die for me. You can never look at me and say, well, as soon as I get better, He'll save me. Because that's not why He came. He came because He knows you. How lucky am I? How lucky are you? I know that you've done things that you ought not do, and maybe are doing them right now wishing I would stop. He knows you. And when you know yourself, if you sit and think about yourself, it gets depressing. Don't do it very long. When your heart condemns you, because he'll tell me, Kenny's told me, I've known him since he was 13, forever. And it seems like, in dog years, like 130 years, honestly. But he'll tell me he doesn't like it when I call him a hero. He doesn't like it because he doesn't feel worthy. No hero ever does. But he is. And I'm going to tell you right now, as worthy as he is of that of being called a hero, I am that much unworthy to have the freedom that he's given me. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Christ knowing who you are, Christ knowing what you've done, Christ knowing what you're going to do, all those things, if you lump them up into one, and by the way, don't you look around the room and try to find somebody worse than you. That happens. Christians do that. We get crazy. We get crazy. We really do. We get to start thinking we're something. We're not. The last verse I read you, don't think of yourselves high here. Don't think of yourselves higher than you ought to think. You are not God's gift. You are not. God is your gift. You're not God's gift. And what happens in our lives, what happens in our days, and let me tell you something. You believe, and I'll go back and forth here for 1 minute. We act like, as Americans, that we are privileged, and this freedom that we have, we should have it. Like we own it. Look, I never paid a cent for it. Why do we have Memorial Day? It's not even thought of anymore. And I'm telling you, I bet you very soon it's going to be out of the public school too. They don't want you to know about the people that gave their blood and died for the freedom that you have. That freedom. Freedom isn't free? Good Lord have mercy. That's the understatement of the century. Not only is it not free, it costs some everything they've ever had. And I enjoy it for free. I enjoy the salvation provided to me for free. Jesus Christ, knowing who I was, still came anyhow and gave me the freedom that nobody else could give. He made me free when I didn't deserve it. He made me free knowing who I was when I should not have had it. He's given me everything. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable for us to serve a God that gave us everything. It is also reasonable, and I will submit to you this, it's also reasonable to account this Memorial Day as a day that you remember that the people that served and gave their lives are worthy of our thanks, because they provided us a freedom that we did not earn. What a wonderful country we live in. How lucky am I? I'm going to heaven someday. He's going to have to change me a lot. That's why we have to get glorified bodies, because we're a mess. He can't let us up there. That's why he has the rapture, because you leave everything behind. He got to pull you out quick. All the bad stuff gets left behind. In a moment, twinkle, he changes you. You need to be changed, I'll tell you that. But let me, hey, did you deserve that? How lucky are you? How lucky am I? We live in America. I'm not going to let anybody tell me in the next 50 years that this is not going to be the greatest country. The rapture could happen. I understand all that. No, this is the greatest country. And we may have to fight for it again. I'm willing. You know why? Because somebody else did for me. Veterans, men and ladies, thank you. I don't know what else to do. Thank you. Those folks in here that lost loved ones in the services, and I got to believe that there's folks in here that have lost loved ones in the military while they were serving. God bless you. And folks, understand this. We've got a battle to fight that's here right now. Serving the Lord. Somebody that gave himself to you, and you are lucky to have it, because he loved you so very much. I know he knows about it. I understand that. I know he saw it all, and he's the Alpha and Omega. I know he knew who you were. I understand that. But doesn't that make it better? Doesn't it make it better that he knew who you were yet still came? Doesn't it make it better? Doesn't it make him greater? Doesn't it make him more merciful? Doesn't it make him more wonderful? Doesn't it make him better that he saw who we were and yet still came? Doesn't it make it greater? Aren't you more lucky than you were before? Glory to God. We have a God that loves us in spite of us, because of us, and every one of us. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, you are so great. Lord, there's never enough thanks. I feel so inadequate when I'm trying to thank veterans and trying to thank the heroes, ones that are in this room, and the folks that gave everything. Lord, it's inadequate. How much more inadequate is it when I try to thank you? Lord, you gave your life for me, knowing who I was. Lord God, I certainly don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. But Lord, you came anyhow. Even to this day, God, I still have sin. And as much as I want to get rid of it, God, I know I never will, until you keep going and you take me to heaven. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for being wonderful. Thank you for coming down even though you knew who I was. Lord, please bless the families today on Memorial Day weekend. Bless those that have lost loved ones in the service. Bless those that have given something of their lives in the military. Let them know that you love them. But Lord, more than any of that, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, oh God, please let them take you as Savior today. Don't let them wait another moment. Don't let them wander out thinking they're going to find it somewhere else. Lord God, your Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'll go ahead and believe what the Bible says. Lord, please, if there's one in here that doesn't know you, let them know you before it's everlasting too late. Because the freedom you provide is contingent upon us accepting its origin. And it originated in you. So Lord God, please help us, if we don't know you, to accept you today. And those of us that do know you, let us thank you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say, I know that I know that I know, 100% sure that if I were to die right now, that I'd go right to heaven. I've accepted the Lord as Savior and I cannot wait to get there. How many would raise their hand up real big and tall? I am saved and I know it. Hands all over the room. Praise the Lord for that. You may put them down. How many can say, you know what though? I don't know. I'm not quite sure, but I sure would like to know. And let me tell you, there's no time like the present. What a wonderful memorial this would be if you got saved on this day. And by the way, this is the day you're supposed to. This is the day you're supposed to. If you don't know the Lord, today's your appointment. Here it is. Don't miss it. If you don't know the Lord as Savior, but you would like to know, could you put your hand up real big and tall? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Is there anybody like that in here today? I don't see one hand, but I'm going to tell you right now. I'm still going to pray because I believe that there's lost folks here. Know this. We are very fortunate people. We're fortunate that we have the Lord as our Savior. We're fortunate that we live in America. We're fortunate that we've been provided with freedom. We're fortunate that we're in this church today. We're fortunate because we heard truth. We're fortunate because men and ladies have given their lives, some all of their life, to provide us with freedom that we do not deserve. And I know that this church is going to keep shouting thank yous to our veterans and our service people. But how much more then should we thank the Lord for providing us with ultimate freedom and a freedom that lasts for eternity? What a great God we serve. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for this morning. Oh God, please be with us as we go to the picnic this afternoon. Lord, be with our guests. So thankful to have them. Lord, we want them to know that this is a church that loves them and cares about them even right now. Lord, please have them come back. Lord, please be with our veterans. Let them know that they're loved here. Let them know that their service was not in vain. Be with them in their aches and their pains and their life struggles that they have now because of their service for me. Lord God, let them know that they're loved and bless their lives. Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.